Today, as you probably can see from the pew sheet, I'm going to speak on snakes and ladders. I'm sure we are very familiar with this particular board game, and I have no idea if young people still play that these days or not, or even how you may be able to play it on computers. And a familiar game that is, if you play and you're met with a snake, then the worst can happen is that you keep sliding back down. And you may even end up losing the game because others have gone ahead of you. But the snakes in the stories that we have heard from the scriptures today is no game. In fact, it is deadly. Today's gospel passage links together three related subjects: the lifting up of Jesus, our Redeemer, the gift of eternal life, and then the third one, judgment or condemnation of those who do not believe. They are so closely related as to be one theme bringing all three together. But often we may fail to understand or treat it that same way. We tend to memorize verse 16 that we all brought up, whether through Sunday school system or otherwise, that we remember that verse very well in our memory. But we don't often read the verse before and after. The reason is clear, because verse 16 is very positive, very reassuring, very life-giving. And we delight in that message that God loves us dearly and there is salvation. But in verses 14 and 15, link Jesus' death to a rather old or even odd Old Testament story, and the meaning may seem obscure. So we choose to ignore verses 14 and 15. Then in verses 17 and 20-21, it speaks of judgment and condemnation, which makes them far, far less attractive to read than verse 16. You know, sometimes, does anybody like Oreo biscuits? You know, how you can twist it and turn it, and some people just break it open and like the inside, but maybe not so much the outside, or that's the way one may eat it. We often want to hear what we like to hear. We call it selective hearing. We love to hear about love and salvation and all the positive and good stuff, which is very good, very correct. But we need to understand that not only that the grace, but also the judgment of the text that is presented to us today. The grace that we all love to hear and understand has no meaning in isolation from judgment. What do I mean by that? If we have no sin, then there's no need for forgiveness or repentance. If there's no judgment or condemnation, there's no need for grace. And that's how they are related. The parallel between the Moses story that we heard from Numbers and the Jesus story in the Gospel of John are several in both stories. The people were in danger, we read in Numbers, because of their sin against God. God provides an agent of salvation, the bronze serpent, in the first story, and then, of course, the Gospel is the second story, the Son of Man, Jesus himself. The people are saved by looking at the bronze serpent. People of today are saved by believing in Jesus. Both are agents of God's salvation. However, there are two significant differences between the stories. The bronze snake was only a piece of bronze, metal, have no saving power in itself. And we need to understand that. There's no saving power in the bronze snake in itself. In 2 Kings verse 18, chapter 18, verse 4, when the Israelites began to make offerings to the bronze serpent, treating it as an idol, Hezekiah destroyed it. It's another reference of a bronze serpent. And so we know that there is no power within that bronze serpent. Jesus, however, is invested with the saving power, as we have heard from the gospel. And it is worthy of our worship. That's the reason you and I, today and every Sunday, gather here to worship the living God, Jesus, our Lord, our Savior, our Redeemer. The second point out of this, two significant. One was that the bronze snake does not save, but it is through the power of God. The second one is, looking at the lifted up bronze snake gave the Israelites extended physical life. They looked it up, they were saved. Looking upon the lifted up Jesus gives us more than just physical life. It is about eternal life. These are the two significant differences. So let us unpack further from these stories that we have today. First, we need to give it some more context about the lifting. People love darkness instead of light. It is not that they, referring to the Israelites, or even today's people, it's not that they have not seen the light. They have, but they chose darkness instead. And the proof is in the pudding. It tells us in the scripture, their deeds were evil. That's the darkness. They hate the light because it ruins their lives. If I stand in the light, people can see me. They can see my foulness. They can see the intentional nature of my sin. I don't just sin out of ignorance. I don't just make mistakes. I make decision to sin. With sound mind and body, I decide to do or not to do. It is a choice. Knowing full well that my parents may say to me, my teacher may say to me, or even my pastor may say to me, or God may say to me, still, I choose the dark and shun the light. People like darkness, choose to be in darkness. The second point in the context is that, what is this darkness or wickedness found in the Israelites? Well, they have been collecting manna each morning and eat God's quail. Actually, I quite like quails. God brings forth water from the rock to quench their thirst. Moses lifted his arms and the Red Sea parted, and the Pharaoh crushed. A pillar of cloud and a pillar of fire guide them through the wilderness. The clothes on their backs and the shoes on their feet don't wear out. Well, that's a pretty interesting fact, isn't it? Yet their complaints against God by saying, There is no water. There is no bread. This food stinks. Moses stinks. And God hates us. That's what they said. Yet, so God sent the punishment to the people of Israel and sent them poisonous snake. He takes them back to the Garden of Eden, where the snake first introduced us to death. And there's that also link as well. How everywhere they turn in the desert, there were snakes. And how about us today? Do we see the snakes that are around us? Do we recognize the snakes that are around us? Big ones, small ones, skinny ones, fat ones, slimy ones, all venomous, all looking for us to harm us, even to kill us. Our history and our newspaper are filled with examples of people who love darkness because their deeds are evil, monstrous evil. And some of these are happening around in Europe, in Ukraine, in other places and situations. We can recall quite a few of these in the history. The Holocaust, Stalin's purges of the people, China's Cultural Revolution, Idi Amin's reign of terror in Uganda, Pol Pot killing fields in Cambodia, and many are happening right before us today. Paul says to the Ephesians, when we were dead in transgressions, that's how people are or once were. Not sort of dead, not kind of dead, but dead, dead. Completely dead. Bereft of life, stone cold dead. Sin kills us. Sin condemns us. So we talked about people love darkness. The darkness that is found in the Israelites, but also in today's world. The third point, believe and saved. Believe and be saved. It says in verse 16 again, whoever believes in Jesus shall not perish, but have eternal life. In the same breath, Jesus said, whoever does not believe is condemned already. That's the part we may not like to read, but it is there. This is not random, not unfortunate, not accidental. When we choose darkness instead of light, we condemn ourselves. When we sow sin, we reap death. Jesus doesn't use the word look. He says the word believe. We don't just look at Jesus at a distance. We don't just look at Jesus as someone nice. But it simply says believe is an action word more significantly different. Five times in verses 12 to 21, and you can count it up yourself, it talks about believe in Jesus. And a sinful people have a place to look, to trust, and to live. So the operative word here is believe. Let me bring them all together once more. Jesus called himself the Jacob ladder. That's why I choose the board game Snakes and Ladder. We talked about snakes. Here, let me mention about the ladder. Jesus referred himself as the Jacob's ladder, the stairway to heaven. I don't mean the songs, though I like the song. Stairway to heaven. In John chapter 1, verse 51, it says, "And he said to him, Nathanael, truly I say to you, you will see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man." That's the Jacob's ladder I'm referring to. Ascending, descending, because Jesus Christ is that ladder. Jesus uses the same word when he encountered Nicodemus. You are familiar with that story in John chapter 3. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, and whoever believes in him may have eternal life. That's in John chapter 3 earlier, right? Right, let me just summarize all that. Four summary points. Jesus is the source of life and our rescue. Jesus, in the place of the snake, and as the source of healing, a source of rescue from the poison of sin and the wrath of God. Jesus is the source of eternal life. The second summary point, Jesus is portrayed as a curse. How so? The snake is evil. The snakes were killing people. The snake on the pole is a picture of that God's curse. Shockingly, Jesus is portrayed as evil and a curse. In Corinthians chapter 5, verse 2, it says, For our sake, God made him to be sin who knew no sin. That's referring to Jesus. So that in him we might become righteous of God. So Jesus becomes the curse, the sin that he carries for us. It is exclusive to those who choose to believe. If someone refused to look at, in those days, in a Numbers time, they died. We choose whether to believe in Jesus or not. And that is a harsh reality. But the saving grace is that Jesus gives eternal life. That's the fourth point. Jesus gives eternal life. Jesus showed what God has done for us already on the cross. And he showed us what it means to have life. The last point, Jesus crucified is the one we see. All right? God ordains to open the eyes of the blind when he has something to see. For Nicodemus, Jesus opened his eyes. We don't know what happened subsequently, but certainly he had the opportunity to have his eyes open. For us too, as we have believed in Jesus. For our family and friends, and for others out there, we talk about community engagement. We talk about evangelism. We talk about mission next week. The people out there needs to hear about Jesus and the salvation. So if you are Nicodemus, what would you do? What should we do today, my dear brothers and sisters? The grace of this new birth is our seeing Christ lifted up and believing in it. Believe it. That's what we need to do. Let us pray. Father, we thank you that you have given us a salvation through the lifting of Christ. Lord, we pray that we see and choose to be in the light because you clothe us with your righteousness. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Amen.